Two movies enter, one movie leaves as we watch two survivors. One featuring the talents of Mila Jovovich and Pierce Brosnan. The second one featuring the talents of plenty of Australian people. All in today's second movie. Welcome to the There Can Be Only One podcast, where we watch two movies with the same title, figure out if any of them needs to change that title, and then tell them what they need to change it to because their title is dumb. My name is Robert Rao, and joining me today are...
Herman Omega Prime Davis.
And I'm Michael Alford.
Yes, of Trivial Objections and... Anything else?
I do comedy and I host a trivia.
All right, that's fine. Trivial Objections is enough.
You had your moment.
At the Mansion Theater, downtown Baton Rouge. Yes. We're going to show you how to do this.
No, plug yourself. All right, right.
Selfless promotion. Like, see me? I just say my name all the time. Herman Omega Brown Davis. Mm-hmm. Herman Omega Brown Davis. Herman Omega Brown Davis.
And he's going to Candyman himself into some yeah. poor girl's living room. She didn't even say anything, and she's like, and you're like, you said my name five times. And he's like, no, I didn't. Oh, yeah, that's right. I said my name five times. I'm still killing you with all the bees. Bees! Just like everything else. So we're watching two movies called Survivor, or one's called Survivor, the other one's called The Survivor. But there were plenty of choices out there in the sea. If you look on the list of Survivor, the second one we're going to watch today isn't even like in the top five or six. There's, of course, the TV show that happened. Is it still going on? They don't still have versions of Survivor, do they? Or do they mix it up with like Amazing Race or something?
I don't know.
Something that still happens?
I know Amazing Race is very high up there on accolades. Mm-hmm. I think Survivor kind of fizzled out.
They don't do it anymore? They don't do like an all-star thing where they bring in everybody that won?
If they do, it's not as big as it was. I could guarantee say that.
It was big in the 2000s, for
Oh,
sure.
it was huge.
Yes.
I don't know if they're still doing that.
Yeah. It's definitely not their flagship anymore. Ever since that like Big Bang Theory started making the money, it's like, forget these guys. There was one reality show where it got canceled like halfway through the season, and they still made them do all the shit. Like, and they didn't even tell them that they were canceled. I forgot what it was.
Drawn Together.
No, I'm talking about like a reality show.
An animated show.
Oh, well, they canceled it.
No, I'm talking about like a reality show where they were competing for like a huge prize at the end, and like they canceled it after episode four, but they still kept doing it.
It wasn't Big Brother. Well, I know.
Oh,
what
you're
talking
shit,
about.
It ain't Big Brother. That thing's still around. That's why.
Unfortunately. I know what you're talking about. I can't remember what it is.
Right. But. It was some weird experiment that they were trying. It's like, well, this isn't working. And we won't tell them that it's still going on. So, but anyway, Survivor is like the big TV show that happened. There's a Kevin Sorbo film that you can see on Amazon that we won't be covering today as well. But more importantly, we decided to go after the one starring Mila Jovovich, Pierce Brosnan, Angela Bassett.
Dylan McDermott.
Thank you. Yeah. I always forget which one.
Robert Forrester.
And a cast of other people. I guess we could play the trailer, but I doubt it's going to be that helpful. So we'll play it right now.
What are you hearing, Sally?
According to first responders, it was a bomb.
How many?
Four of yours.
And five passers-by.
Has anyone claimed responsibility?
We found this.
Do you think she's dead?
We can't find her.
The bomb has traces of chromium.
We haven't seen that since
Paris.
The watchmaker.
Abbott's still alive, I understand.
I have no choice.
And we're back. There we go. Okay, that's good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it almost looks like all the other pauses that have happened in this show, so that'll work. Perfect. Yes. I can totally find this one.
Yes.
Woo! All right, so you have Mila Jovovich, who is the hottest interrogator that you will ever find anywhere. Isn't it great when they have stuff like that? When somebody who is clearly someone should be famous and they're just in a low-level government job. Like, she wasn't even, like, important. She was screening people that were coming into London, of all places.
Yeah.
like, London, who cares?
Yeah, because she's in real life, she really was a model, a professional model. And
she's like in her mid-40s and she still looks great. There's nothing, like, she didn't try to fuck with it. You know, like how some actresses will be like, well, I'm losing it.
Yeah.
So I gotta like just completely overhaul my face. Like what? I'm the watchmaker. I need a new face.
I don't know if it's good or bad, but she's been having that same face for the last 20 years. So
right,
it's like she just grew into that face.
I mean, don't you have the same face your whole life?
Not really. I done seen some people that I graduated with, and now I've seen them now. I'm like, God damn, what happened to you?
Yeah. Why are you talking about your kids like that? Yeah, that's horrible, Herman.
Hey, man. Like, hey, man.
You know, yeah, what did high school do to you?
So cute, you know? Yeah, you're right, though. She's stunningly amazing. Like, you know in real life, somebody that hot would not be working as a bureaucratic job like that.
Right. So she's interviewing people that are entering in London, possibly to come all the way over to the United States. And there's this one dude who was Shelley Long's fiance in Cheers. I don't remember his name, but and not Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, I know
you're
talking about the
right.
one who played Bale. Yeah. I think he died, too. I think this is his last film.
He's dead?
I think so.
Because Pierce Brosnan killed him. Don't tell everybody what happens in this movie. Jeez, man.
Yeah, it's like the whole
God, thing. Aren't we going to recommend that they see this? Jeez, Herman. So she's like, yeah, I don't trust you. And her superior, who is Robert Forster, immediately is like, cut it out.
Cut it out.
We are, yes. I am a big fan of Joey Lawrence. He's my hero. Cut it out. And then she's
that
like.
That was his name, Joey Lawrence?
It's Joey Tribbiani?
No.
Joey something, Joey, right? He was Uncle Joey, right?
Uncle Joey.
You know his face when you see him.
I
ain't
know his last
sure.
name. Dave Coulier.
It's Dave Coulier, but yeah.
Which
Mr. Alanis Morissette, whatever, okay? That dude.
You ought to know.
And she went, how rude. And he's like, Lord have mercy. He's like, and they both had a laugh. And they're just like, yeah, I love Full House too. And so eventually she's like, well, I got to find out about this guy because he looks awfully sketchy. And then like another person who comes in who's a part of like British intelligence says, his wife got held up by someone like you and she died. Now, don't you feel bad? And she's like, yeah, I guess I sort of do. But I'm still Mila Jovovich, so I don't care. And eventually you find out that this dude and Robert Forster and several other bureaucratic people are in on this huge conspiracy to bring terrorists into New York so they can blow up the ball during New Year's Eve, like the ball, like the one that drops. And unfortunately, this was filmed in 2015, so this was after Dick Clark had died. So you have no like iconic person to be counting down this ball. Like, they don't have anything New York-wise associated. They couldn't even get, like, a Larry King. Or who would be – who's the equivalent now? Is it
Ryan Seacrest?
Yeah, why couldn't they get him? This is, like, a $20 million film. They got a decent cast out of it.
I'm sure he's available.
Yeah. Can you fly to Bulgaria for a week and just film this and talk about how awesome it is to turn into whatever with all these blue dicks flying around everywhere? I'll explain the blue dicks in a minute.
Oh, they could have got Kathy Griffin.
Is she available?
Yes, she's definitely available.
So they think Mila Jovovich is not only going to find out about this, but is going to rat everybody out. So they get the person that goes around killing people, and that's Pierce Brosnan. He is known as the Watchmaker. And for a guy who's trying to hide his identity, they certainly are really branding him as the Watchmaker to everything. Sort of like Carlos the Jackal. That's kind of what they're going on this. They're trying to make this the ultimate killer. To the point where if anybody's talking to him and someone just gets out of line with talking about the wrong thing, he just offs them. It's like, how dare you? And how dare you try to speak to me as a human? And then he kills them, and they're like, oh, so you're trying to show this guy means business.
Yeah, you ask him about his vacation plans, like, hey, didn't you go on vacation in Dubai last year?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And he's like, die!
Not only did he die, he stabbed him in the ear.
Right,
which was the weirdest thing. That was the one part of the movie that really did kind of disturb me a little bit. And like, I was like, wow, he's kind of a bad dude.
Yeah, because I was like, I was hoping that after he stabbed me in the ear, I was like, can you hear me now? I thought he was going to say that. You know?
Yes, because he was the Verizon killer. Is that what he is?
Can you hear me? That'd be a good... Nah, never mind.
If they showed old pictures of him and it was that dude because he had so many facelifts, like he just was other people that supported either Sprint or Verizon or whatever.
Yeah.
There you go. Do you know that the reason he's able to be on the competitors' commercials is because he's not the character. He's himself on those commercials.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's how he's able to be on that competitor. What is he on? He's on Verizon now. He used to be AT&T, right?
No. He was Verizon. Now he's on Sprint.
Yeah. Sprint. That's
the
one.
Contract right now or something.
Yeah, no. You're not allowed to be anybody else in another... Like, that's how ironclad they usually make these things, because then all another company has to do is just buy somebody from a previous company. So he's not that person that he was. He's just himself. Plus, as they pointed out in commercials, he's gay in this one. Like, as a way of showing, like, this is the reason I got fired. Like, he said he got fired because he was gay.
I did not get that in those commercials.
Yes, he is. He has a boyfriend. If you have not caught that in these commercials, he has a boyfriend in them.
Is that serious?
And I'm just saying... He's doing this as a weird form of protest to Verizon, as to show, like, hey, Sprint's on board with my lifestyle. What about you? Sort of thing. That's what the whole thing is.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying that's what he's doing.
No, but I just didn't realize that they were trying to make it obvious, but I did not notice. I guess that's a good thing that I didn't notice, I guess. I don't know.
You would have gotten upset? Or?
No, I just don't care, you know, so... You know, that's what I mean. I'm like, I don't care.
So for the next 45 minutes, we go through all of downtown London as the Watchmaker is doing his damnedest to kill Milla Jovovich, but is doing a poor job. He kills everybody else in London, but not her.
Yep.
The most ridiculous scene is the first death, which should have, like, killed her if she didn't run out to get a gift because they felt bad for not getting a gift for this dude whose birthday party was at a fancy French restaurant. Right.
By the way, did you get a good look at what she was buying?
It was at a jar or something like that, some sort of vase, very bad gift.
It was it's almost 80 pounds. I don't know what that is.
You know
dollars,
what? I just thought
it's
about
a one to one.
She's the new girl. She only been there for like less than a week, right?
Right.
These other five people been working with this guy for a long time. They send a new girl out to buy a gift.
That's actually pretty standard.
Really?
Yeah, of course. You want the newbie to go out and do stuff.
Yeah, but you trying to buy a gift for somebody, I mean, you don't know.
They don't care about this person. They brought him to a fancy French restaurant instead of like going to like Texas to Brazil. I would have been insulted to find out that, oh, we're eating duck and blood duck. Oh, great.
She probably wanted to make a good impression at least. Like, you know, you don't want to go to a party empty-handed, especially if you're the new person. So she bought an $80 boss.
Yeah, she's been holding up people all day. Everybody's a terrorist in her eyes.
No, they pooled the money together. Like they all pooled their money together and then sent her out. So it wasn't like her money. But isn't it here? No, go ahead.
Sure. Okay. So Milla Jovovich is she's able to go around and find out about their huge plot about going to New York. So she realizes.
Yeah.
Even though that she is now wanted for murder because she's framed for killing Robert Forster, in that Robert Forster tried to kill her and she just said, I'm going to point the gun at you instead. And he did a poor job of doing the, I'm dying and there's a crowd of people filming me dying sort of thing. Like, you could tell he gave up. He's like, you want me to fall where? Nah, whatever. I'll lean over this pool. How's that? There you go.
It's just the kid on the shoulder. The kid going to push you down.
Yeah, that's about all that happened. She is wanted for murder, check. She has been around one explosion, at least one explosion, maybe two. We'll say two, because they had the other one, I guess, as like a training exercise to show that he can blow up big balls. Like that was the other thing.
Yeah.
It was like some. It looked like a place that was meant to be destroyed, like a projects area, like that one place in London that got destroyed. Recently,
oh,
by a fire.
Yeah.
the apartment building.
Yes.
That was on fire for several days.
Yes, it was.
And
thanks a lot, Pierce Brosnan.
And I hear the people die because over there they tell people don't leave the building.
Right.
Yeah, some kind of way the building is made. It's supposed to be safer for the people that actually stay in their apartments when it's on fire or something.
That makes no sense.
Hey, man, I'm just saying. You know.
Was it Samuel Jackson in a wheelchair telling these people don't leave? Is that what was happening?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, look, I'm looking for a superhero. Some of you have to burn to find this superero, okay?
Didn't the building stay on fire for like 2-3 days?
Yeah. Something like that.
Some people it takes longer to kill. He needs to make sure.
It's like, what, they had one guy out there with a garden hose trying to put the fire out or something?
Yes.
Like, yeah, here you go. Hold on, I'm going to put the new nozzle on. Get this done.
Fire extinguishers are illegal in England because of the gun thing. You didn't know that?
Yeah.
All right, so she's able to get from London to Paris, right? She
They tried to trick her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She went to America.
She did her Hackerman skills.
Right, and she, A, is looking like Mila Jovovich, and they're posting her picture everywhere. And she's able to go, up to people and say, so who are you? Oh, what are you here for? I had a death in the family. Approved. And then moves along.
Most people, when they're trying to hide from the law and stuff, they'll get a fake beard. They might dye their hair or something, put on a...
I would have loved to have seen her in a fake beard. No, that would have been great.
All she did was just go get some glasses.
Yeah, put it on. Some $500 pair of glasses. She might as well put on a fedora and the shiniest Fabergé egg around her neck as to say, I'm inconspicuous. I'm you common folk.
She also was bruised and scratched up pretty much for the majority of the film.
Correct.
Yes. It wouldn't that be a red flag if you get on a plane bruised and
almost definitely. Definitely.
But in the same way a Terminator is bruised and scratched up, their face is still pretty pristine, but there's just little blotches on the cheekbone or something like that. You still want to have the star's face out there. And I think this is what's going to get into the problem for the movie title. But we haven't gotten to there yet. Pierce Brosnan eventually just says, I give up. I'm going to New York because that's where I do all my best thinking. And they're like, me too. I need to go too because we're going to blow up stuff. He's like, oh, you need something blown up? I'm your guy. So they're going to shoot the ball as it's going to fall for New Year's Eve. Everything's going to explode. It sounds like 29/11. So that's basically what's going to happen. Everybody that's in the Times Square area is dead.
Well, it sounds like a good time, really.
Right. Whatever he's got going in, nobody cares. That was the weird thing. He was able to put whatever juice was supposed to go into that ball, and no one said anything, right?
Are you getting these innuendos that he's putting out there?
Your endos.
Yeah,
okay. No, it's he puts this he puts the explosive substance into it 20 minutes to go, and they're like, why are you doing that? He's like, here's the paperwork. All right, I guess if the paperwork says it's okay. Nobody fucks with that ball. Why is he doing it, A, 30 minutes before it happens, B, without anybody going, whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
No, this is happening way too soon, so it's only up to Mila Jovovich. She's the only one that can save him. Turns out, Pierce Brosnan wants to do this by himself. He even kills the dude as he's doing this as revenge for his wife dying. He's like, oh, isn't that sweet? Die, 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 die.
Still really didn't make sense why he did that.
Yeah, he's killing people left and right.
I talk about how people could help him. If he didn't kill the dude, that dude could have stopped Miller from, stopping Pierce Brosnan from shooting it. She only got there just in time to stop him from blowing up the ball.
Right.
So if that dude was still alive, he would have just stopped, jumped in front of her and stopped her. so he did screw himself.
And in the line of fire sort of move where he jumps in front of
he did kind of screw him. That did make sense. You should have just waited until you actually blew up the building or blew up the ball, then kill the dude. You didn't have to do it before.
Terrorism 101, starring Herman Omega Prime Davis. Yes. You want to blow up half of New York City? Listen to Herman. He knows exactly what to do. Keep everybody alive.
I do not agree with that statement. To all our, we got 5 million.
Think
listeners.
Of the money we can make, Herman.
Yeah, no,
Herman.
We got
all
5 million.
Money.
Now we got 5 million listeners in my head. So,
he's split, but they all love him. If James McAvoy was just a whole bunch of James McAvoys that were fans of his, that just every time he turns around, can I get an autograph? That's Herman. That's Herman in his head right there. Oh, God. Herman's head? Oh, Jesus. Never thought of this?
Only took you 80 episodes, huh?
Yeah, I guess so, huh?
Is that what you guys are on now?
Yeah, this will probably 81, 82, somewhere around that. Yeah, yeah.
The 100, we're going to do something special.
Nope. Absolutely not. You won't even realize it's 100.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're down to 5 minutes. Pierce Brosnan's I got this shot. Totally going to do this. Mila Jovovich is no, Mila powers. And she's throwing knives out of nowhere at him and stuff. And then he dies. Everybody else who was waiting in the wings for her to kill him are now freeze, that sort of thing. And she saves the day. Yay. And then they have probably the most insensitive after like the epilogue on this is like our brave men have stopped 53 other terrorist attacks in New York City, and you're like, eh, all right, fine, whatever. You want to tie yourselves to 9/11? Good job. There,
that's
you did
weird
it.
Weird thing that they threw that in.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It very much is.
Because it didn't feel like a 9/11 related movie.
No,
they definitely said 9/11 several times. But yeah, I thought they were going to go somewhere with that a little bit more. But yeah, it was just, it felt out of place to see that prompt towards the end.
Yes, yes, it did. All right, so we're going to now talk about the title of this movie, because I think that the main issue with this is it stars Mila Jovovich, but it shouldn't star her in order for this title to work, because they're trying to reference her as like the meal ticket in this thing. If it's not a Resident Evil film, if it's not like any other big budget film, she's not the important person in this thing. Like, does anybody even remember The Fourth Kind? Like, these are films that, you know, just they tried to back her as the star. So that's why she is the focal point of the title in Survivor. Like, she's the one that lives through this whole thing. They don't pull a Romeo Must Die and end up like Jet Li lives or something. Like, she, like, you know that she's going to live through this whole thing.
I actually like Mila, but I think they should have cast somebody else for this role, because
she's not the problem. It's just the fact that she's the star power is the problem.
She's not the problem. You're right. But I just didn't like her for this role. I just expected her to be fighting, like, you know, doing something.
Who would you put in? Yeah, because she fought like a little bit.
Yeah,
but you kind of expect her with this kind of
action. Gerard Butler in a wig, totally.
Yeah. Do you have somebody in mind?
Catherine Heigl.
Who?
No. Catherine Heigl? No.
I'm just joking. Not really. Just somebody who's not. I view Mila as an action star. And in this movie, she looked more like, not an action star.
That's not an excuse for that, but I'm not saying that's the problem with this movie. I'm just saying that the script clearly had a star in this, and that was Pierce Brosnan's character. Like, it was the Watchmaker the whole time. They kept calling him the Watchmaker. They had T-shirts printed. They were going to go to, like, and then they said, no, we're going to, like, make this Survivor instead.
So you think that they should have sent in the movie more around Pierce Brosnan?
No, they should just call it the Watchmaker, because it wasn't that they didn't. It's just that he was the main, like, focal point of this movie.
Like the Jackal.
Yeah, like the Jackal. He's not the star. They keep going back to Richard Gere during the whole film. So he's not necessarily the star, but if they, I guess, got a bigger name instead of Pierce Brosnan. Not saying Pierce isn't a big name. He's just not. He's usually like a supporting cast these days. If they had Jason Statham playing that role, it would have totally been called The Watchmaker. Don't you think?
You guys want to hear my Jason Statham impression?
Yes, let's hear it.
You know what I mean?
Perfect.
Thank you.
Perfect.
I just feel like in all of his movies, he says, you know what I mean? At least at one point.
Yes.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought I was like, this is not Jason Statham.
Right.
Real perfect.
You ever seen Snatch? He drinks milk.
He's not seen Lock, Stock either. He hasn't seen either one.
Yeah, I gotta catch up.
but there are no other movies called Snatch or Lock, Stock, so that's the problem. But no, if I'm renaming this movie, it's called The Watchmaker. I understand that I was trying to come up with something like Red Tape or Red Code Red. Was that the other one?
I thought of a good title for it. I thought Papers, Please, even though it's already a video game, but they definitely did say Papers, Please a couple times in this movie. And you need papers to get into the several places that they needed to go to, whether it be a country or a Times Square event for New Year's.
Hey, where's your stupid hat? Why you can't go any further? Where's your stupid hat?
Wearing the same thing.
Same damn blue hat, same damn blue penises everywhere. Just waving around, just like everybody knows during New Year's Eve, that's what you do.
Also, never seen a New Year's celebration where the year was not displayed on any of the merchandise.
Yeah, well, they definitely weren't sure when this was coming out.
They try to keep it generic as possible.
I mean, the only hint at any year is you saw like a small picture in the background of Obama in one person's office. Like, they don't even like acknowledge that he's the president in the movie, other than that picture, because they whenever it's like the president needs word about that, that's it, the president needs word, that's all they say. They don't say who the president is,
and they get away with a lot of things because it's filmed mostly in London, and at one point she's using the payphone, and you know in America it's hard to find a payphone anywhere in America. So I was like, do they still got payphones in London? I was like, I don't know. I guess so.
All right, we're sending Herman to London to find out if this is actually accurate or not.
Yay!
Yeah, I feel like this is a nostalgic
but
thing now.
I'd be hard because I don't have a passport.
Papers, Herman. Why are you coming? Why are you coming? What is your reason for coming to London, sir?
Well, I do this podcast, and we just want to see.
Denied.
Okay then. All right.
Damn you, Mila! Stopping us from being accurate. All right, so we got another Survivor film to watch. This one we put last over the other one because it was made in 1981, and it looks awesome, and we'll talk about it right after these messages. Yes, it does. It looks great.
Okay, if you say so.
It always looks great.
Do we you guys have messages? That's great.
Yeah.
Messages?
No, we're just going to play the trailer.
Yeah. No sponsors.
James Herbert's frightening novel of supernatural power is now a movie.
No, what's wrong?
Someone coming out.
After all, I've just killed 300 people in a field and walked away without a scratch. That makes me pretty special, doesn't it?
The pilot is haunted by the guilt of his survival.
It'll come. It has to, Harry. I think I'm going mad.
That's it.
We're back, everybody. Trying to get it fully set down, huh?
Oh.
You thought you could do it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to get y'all excited about talking about this movie, Survivor.
Yes. Now, let's see if
Sir
I can.
Robert Powell. Okay. The lady from Logan Run in the Avengers movie, so I forgot because I looked at her name and it looked hard to pronounce, so I'm not going to try.
Her name
plus some other people.
Is Jenny.
Yes. Yes, the person that played her was Jenny, sure.
Yeah. Jenny.
A gutter looks like.
Yeah.
A gutter.
Yeah.
A gutter. Word.
A gutter.
Right. So this movie was a product of the some sort of four-film contract by Robert Powell. One of the other ones that he did was Harlequin. If you look at his list of films, I think the most thing he was known for, he played Jesus of Nazareth in like the Bible retelling. And he's got one of those faces that does kind of look very weird. Like when you see him, it's going to stay with you. He's got one of those oddly lizard-like faces. You know, like if the aliens were to invade and they needed skin, that's kind of what he looks like. He's just like skin over an alien face.
Just rigid and sharp-looking face.
Right. Like it's sort of put nicely on. He's definitely wearing like an Edgar suit of some sort. He's trying to blend himself in society. And the only way that that aliens can is by pretending to be actors, as they always can be. This movie centers around a huge disaster that happens in Australia. It does not happen in the 99% of Australia that is uninhabitable. Yeah, it happens right in the smack dab of where everybody else is watching. Even I think this might be the first time I've seen a plane crash where you get to see people that are just on the street having to deal with this crash, because that does not happen often when you see a plane crash.
Witnesses. That was weird.
Right.
There was witnesses.
Right. It happened right after takeoff. So, like, they go down and he's like, where am I going to put this? There's no body of water. There wasn't a Sully to help him out to be able to drop him in some body of water. So I guess I got to kill some kids. That's about how he felt like that was going to happen. And then you see this huge explosion. I think they wanted to emphasize like this was right at takeoff because they also he mentioned like, hey, we got to dump some of this gas in order to be able to survive this, or possibly to spread around the crime scene so everybody dies.
Yep.
And that is exactly what happens. Everyone dies, save one person, the pilot, of course. Because he has that eject button right before he gets out. Nobody else does. Have you ever checked, like, if you've been on an airplane and seen that huge eject button that you can press to let you just jump out to freedom?
Yeah, but don't have no parachute.
Well, you don't need a parachute. Because I can fly.
I don't care.
Yes, that's I know, I don't believe I can fly. I just can fly. There's no believing involved. It's just a common fact, man. I can fly. You don't have to.
You know, when you know something, you know something.
Right. You have to believe.
Believe. Okay. Then there's doubt.
Right.
That's a good play.
Sure. Sure.
It's a good movie, too. What?
All right.
Doubt? You know, Meryl Streep?
I know what you're talking about. Okay. I don't know why you're bringing it up, other than...
I didn't bring it up. Mike brought it up.
Uh-huh. Okay. Are you gonna? Okay, so let me. I know how much you want to talk about this movie.
Yes,
I'm sorry we woke you from your nap, Herman. That you have to come up here and grumbly talk about this movie. You're like, all right, fine. Somebody did stuff.
You fell asleep twice.
More than twice.
You woke up and you're like, oh, I fell asleep, more than twice. And then went right back to sleep.
I could tell you about this movie, but Robert, keep going. Nah, you're doing a good job.
So Robert Powell is now like, holy shit, I survived. Like, no scratches whatsoever. And as referenced earlier, there is no Samuel L. Jackson to look along and go, I found my guy. No, this was just a, I am alive and everybody else is dead. I guess that's great. I don't know. We can't end the movie there. So let's go talk about how we're going to deal with everybody else who's on this plane. Turns out this was, I guess, sort of a fault of the design of the plane, even though when they go into the flashback, you see that it was a bomb in a suitcase, yeah. Which was very popular in the 70s. If you had bombs, they were in suitcases that you could bring on with you.
Which, that was the big reveal, though.
Well, yeah. I was a little bit coherent during that part. Did a guy open up the suitcase and didn't realize he had a bomb in the suitcase? Or?
Yes.
Okay, that kind
and they
of,
didn't do it. He was just like, oh, darn. Yeah, okay, it wasn't even like a, let's throw it out of the plane or anything. It was just like, oh, darn, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? He's just kind of tap dancing in his spot. Like, he didn't even bother getting up. He's like, well, the fasten seatbelt sign's on, so I guess I can't move from my seat. I keep it on my lap here. What do you say? Let's just sing it to sleep, huh? That sounds like a good idea. Like, no attempt to disarm this bomb or anything happens. It just goes kaboom within, like, minutes of the flight. So the intent was to have it destroyed. And I'm guessing the maker also wanted everything else destroyed in the process because he did not like anybody else existing when this plane blew up. You find out that everybody else involved, or at least knowing anything about the plane. Now, anytime, like, something occurred to where... it looked like they had found a problem with the plane. Those people died by child. Like, that was, like, there was a child that creepily watched them to the point where they went, and then they would die. So what they were insinuating was that ghosts were killing people because they found out about a faulty problem in the airplane. That's basically what was going on. It looked like some other people were dying. Eventually, you find out it was just like a dude with a shotgun that didn't want anybody to know about their shitty airplane.
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense.
It was one of those old airplanes that had like a second floor to it. Like, you don't see airplanes these days bothering with the second floor. You don't have that spiral staircase that leads it up to a lounge where you can just sit and hobnob with all the cool people during your flight, right?
What about the airplanes that weigh elevators?
Well, there's, like, dumbwaiters. Those happen all the time. Where else are you supposed to get your food? How else is a Kurt Russell supposed to go down into baggage department and find the bomb so he can throw it out of an airplane? He's got to use a dumbwaiter to be able to do that.
That's a very good movie.
Or is this a Wonka Vader where it just goes through the entire plane? Like, it can go to any part of the plane that you want it to. It can go upways and sideways and downways and slantways and all other ways. Is that what it's going?
Yeah.
You can't even answer, can you, Herman? No. Like, no.
Herman's still asleep.
Right. Yes. I need to excite Herman in some sort of way. What would actually do it? I don't know. Let's see. There's a bomb! Bomb! There's a bomb!
Whoa, Lord.
Well.
That didn't work.
Well, we sat through those two movies. Would you say that?
What's funny is when somebody first does this and gets to experience like what me and Herman do on a weekly basis, they're like, "You keep doing this sort of thing?"
It doesn't always turn out like
the
that.
The only movies that actually show up on these lists are movies that didn't do well enough to make sure nobody else will name it that ever again. Like, that doesn't happen. Like there's not a movie out there where they're like, well, I guess everybody's going to call it that because our movie was so awesome. You know, that doesn't happen. We do find films that are worth watching that people haven't heard of this way. But I would say our success rate is maybe 1 in 20 films. Mm-hmm. That happens, like, and so about every 10th podcast, we find a movie that we're like, hey, that was a pretty good movie. And it's tough to do it, especially if it's a movie, at least if one half of those movies we've seen. So, like, in a way, we want to see something else again. So I didn't hate it as much as you two hated this movie. I actually enjoyed a little bit of the creepiness that involved. I do agree that this had the 70s horror movie problem in that it really didn't have a strong narrative to it. It just was creepy for creepy's sake, and then they tried to throw in the plane kind of sucked sort of thing. Because eventually you find out that Robert Powell was dead the whole time after he got shot by the guy that made the airplane. He was like, boom, and then you see him and he's like, well, there was a pilot here this entire time. Either, we didn't even move the scene. And
either that or they changed time.
Right.
Kind of Donnie Darko kind of situation.
Sure. That also is a possibility, yes.
I feel like a survivor sitting through those two films.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all right.
That's where I was going with that.
All right.
I can understand that.
Ba-dum-tsh.
But you see how quickly we went through this plot. There wasn't a ton of stuff that happened
it was
in between.
Based on a book, too.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they shot this film. That's the only little trivia I picked up. They shot this film. Shot this film the same year the book came out. God, so they really rushed
book.
It.
I had to read the fucking book, too. It was awful.
Yeah.
It was the worst. What was the book called?
Survivor.
Was it called Survivor?
Yeah, it was called Survivor.
What's funny is I don't mind it being called Survivor, but I almost feel like it should be called Survivor's Guilt, like more than anything. Like it's that and that's more of a new concept that we have these days where people feel guilty about living.
Survivor's Remorse.
Well, it's called Survivor's Guilt as well, or Remorse, either one.
Yeah.
Feeling bad about living when other people in their same situation are dead. And they feel bad that they – why are they here? Almost like the end of Saving Private Ryan where you have Matt Damon's character like, why me? Why? What did I do? See all these people? They're dead and I'm alive. Why?
There's something wrong with me because I could honestly say I would never have that. I would be like, shh, I'm glad I'm still here.
Well, then you wouldn't have a horror film about you. You would just be – it would be like after you crashed an airplane, you'd be like, I'm alive. Fuck these guys.
I just don't think that the main character necessarily needed to be the main character. I think the most interesting person was the psychic.
Right. That was the other character, the one that was in all the Avengers films recently and Logan's Run, which I am finding is not a staple sci-fi film as I thought it was. Because I thought in the same way I can just say Planet of the Apes or Day of the Earth Stood Still or some other things. I can just say Logan's Run and everybody's like, oh yeah, I know that reference. It turns out not everybody has seen this movie. So, Herman, have you seen it?
No, but I know about it.
Jesus, nobody's seen this movie. It comes on TBS like on a weekly basis. How does
cable?
Well, I know it's just, okay.
Look at me, the big bucks. I got cable.
I'm from a time internet. Where that was the only way you could watch a movie it would be with commercials and be 3 hours long and you'd watch it. And this is no way of me advocating. Watching Logan's Run, it just has a neato concept behind it where you have people, once you turn 30, you die because they believe in reincarnation. There's like that was the whole thing. It's like a carousel thing that they get thrown in and everybody dies and everybody celebrates the death because they're gonna be turned into the little babies. So in between the time that they're born and they're 30, they have like the most awesomest stuff happen to them, but a lot of people think like, oh, I want to go away. I don't want to be killed. And so they have sandmen going around killing these people. So you have sadists going around killing these guys who are running away because they don't want to die because their law says they have to die sort of thing. So, yeah, that's Logan's Run. So there. Now everybody knows it. Jesus Christ. Nobody knows what fucking Logan's Run is.
No, I just kept on thinking about the lobster when you was describing it.
The lobster?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Okay.
I must be tired.
Did Well, okay, that one. Okay, yeah, in the
reincarnation,
same. In the same way, but I think there was more of a message to be said in that in the weird way that that guy makes. Have you ever seen The Lobster?
Yes, I loved it. I thought it was great.
Have you seen any of that dude's other work?
Look at that face. Look at that face.
The lobster.
You still wanted to see Killing of a Sacred Deer, even though you knew about The Lobster? And you're
I did not see Killing of a Sacred Deer.
I know, but you complained that you didn't get into it. Didn't you?
That was just caught up in the euphoria of being there.
Was that movie Herman? Was that his like, oh, everybody got to see this but me.
Everybody get the pink ice cream and I got the blue ice cream.
Yeah. Okay, so.
I don't know if that was a good analogy.
What's blue ice cream? Do you drink blue milk with it too? In your moisture farm?
Maybe like bubblegum ice cream. There's blue flavors.
So if you're
not familiar with this, there's a film festival that me and Herman went to called Fantastic Fest. We actually were able to pull three podcasts out of that because they had three movies there that had the same titles as three other movies. Yeah.
Okay.
What they do is they have around five movies that you choose from at every time slot, and you rank the movies that you want to see from 1 to 5.
Okay.
If there are more people that want to see it, then there's room to have it. Then it turns into a lottery system, and there's no other real criteria. You just basically on an app, you find out if you got into what movie at what time, and then they have like a ticket exchange afterwards if you can possibly get into that movie or not.
Okay, this was in Austin.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's an 8-day movie festival where we watched 30-something movies that way.
Yes.
So, yeah. This was Herman's first foray, and probably his last, into the two festivals I go to in Austin every year now.
Well, one is we're not going to do it no more, I guess.
There's Butt-Numathon. That's the other one. But I go to, like, when I tell people I go to South by Southwest and it's only for the movies, they're like, really? There's a huge music festival going on. You just go for the movies? I'm like, yeah, of course, man. Movies are awesome.
I would do Fantastic Fest again, but... No, I'll do it again.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. I'm. My apologies. It sounded like you were like, especially afterwards, like I'm done. I'm out. I don't want to do this anymore. But yeah, it's a lot of genre films. So, but occasionally they'll have movies that are like the high ticket item. Like everybody wants to go see it. Like they'll have an opening night movie. And they have a closing night movie. The opening night movie was supposed to be Three Billboards, and they didn't have that one. The closing night movie was Downsizing, which everybody hated. Like, everybody afterwards was like, this is the worst movie ever. I hated this. It was funny. I just kind of had to mumble to myself. So like, I kind of like the movie. I don't know what everybody's problem was.
No, I didn't say I hated it. I mean,
No, you didn't say it. Everybody else hated it because of the message behind it.
I thought maybe it might have been a little bit overhyped, even though the movie hasn't come out yet.
Have you seen the trailer for this?
No.
It's another Matt Damon film. It's about the scientist... have figured out a way to shrink you down to be about 4 inches tall.
This high.
Yeah. So this is like it was created so it would save the environment. So their thinking is if we're smaller, we make less waste, therefore the environment is saved.
Is this part of the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids franchise? Or?
No, it's totally different, but same kind of...
It is surprisingly a long movie because it goes through a lot, like the inception and the closing of this entire process of people that who are experimented on to be able to be shrunk down. But it's done it's done by Alexander Payne, so I don't know if you've seen any of his other stuff like Sideways or About Schmidt or Election. It has a message, but it definitely has one of these very matter-of-fact, real-world kind of ideas behind it, and it throws in a lot of other ideas as well.
Because people weren't ready for that, I guess.
Well, people didn't like that they thought that this was sort of a comedy mixed with a message movie when they felt it should have been one or the other. It didn't know what kind of film it should have been.
Yeah, yeah.
But I knew coming in... that this was the kind of movie he makes. Like, he may throw messages in a movie, but he also will make it funny. Like, it reminded me a lot of his first film, Citizen Ruth, which I don't think a lot of people have seen, but I think it's one of his better films. It stars Laura Dern, and she is a meth head. No, I don't think they had meth heads at the time. She just huffed a lot of fumes. Like that. That's like they would find her at the end of exhaust cars and like just huff that stuff.
Yeah, I forgot what that was called. Yeah, I forgot.
Have you seen that?
No, I just know that, you know, when you huffing all those fumes.
Right. Meth head seems to be like that kind of, like the derogatory term for something like that. She has had three miscarriages and she is pregnant again. So the judge says you can either get your, like, get an abortion or serve jail time. And she is in jail with a bunch of abortion protesters, and they basically turn her into their icon. As like,
wow.
Yeah, it is. It's one
I'm
of those.
Speechless. That's crazy.
Yeah, well,
and
it is.
She becomes like a pawn in a huge game between the anti-abortionist and the abortionist, like pro-abortionist.
Sure.
And she's dumb as rocks and is able to fool them both. And that's what's great about the movie. Like they never play her to be smart at all.
Okay.
And she's only in it for herself.
Sound like the chick from Orange Is New Black.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The one Tyron Manning.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't watch Orange Is New Black.
I know I watch
I just
it,
don't
but
know the names.
Yeah,
the one that had the bad teeth and got it fixed.
No.
Oh, I tell you, never mind.
No.
Never mind.
I feel so bad. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You watch
He feels as bad as Robert Powell did about living while everybody else died. That's exactly how he feels.
Okay, y'all have watched it, right?
Yes, and we don't care.
Okay. Y'all know who Tyron Manning
is? I don't care.
From Friend Trip?
No.
What's Friend Trip?
Oh, wait. No. Oh, okay. That was one of the ones that we renamed. When we saw Crossroads, the Britney Spears one, we renamed it to Friend Trip.
The one that was pregnant in that one?
Oh. Well, she's not dumb in that show.
In Orange Is the New Black, she is dumb.
No, she is not.
She is dumb.
She is not dumb.
She is dumb as a box.
Nope. She is not. Okay. I wouldn't call her dumb in that show.
I won't.
If you have not seen Citizen Ruth, you got to see dumb. Like, okay. They make her dumb in this film.
Okay.
And it's great. But anyway, so I think both of these movies need to be renamed. And the Kevin Sorbo film we did not watch gets to keep the Survivor title.
We should have watched that one because I actually heard good things about it.
No, you didn't. You did not. From who? Who did you hear this from?
Where are these sources?
Kevin Sorbo.
What camel?
Your sources all
on,
night tonight.
He was on the Adam Carolla show and he says it's a good movie.
If you guys had to name this movie.
All right, that's it.
Watched.
Let's get back up. We're watching it, guys. Turn it on. Fire up the old machine. We're going to turn this baby on. So, all right. So, I think the first one needs to be renamed The Watchmaker. The second one needs to be renamed into Survivor's Remorse. I think
the second one needs to be renamed The Cure for Insomnia.
Nope. The Survivor's Remorse.
Yeah.
Herman, your ideas are completely thrown by the wayside. Go back to watching Orange Is the New Black in your mind.
Just pretty much a bad flight.
Like,
just a really bad flight. That whole thing just did not work
the
out for
worst.
Anyone. Mm-hmm. It was just a bad day.
Worst flight ever is what it is.
Yeah.
So you had a bad day. Okay, yeah, that's exactly what this is. All right, so we're wrapping things up. Does anybody want to promote anything coming up soon? This will probably drop next Friday if you're trying to think of a time.
Yeah, I'm going to plug Herman Omega Prime Davis.
Yes, see him at his house. He lives on 123 Fake Street.
Yes.
Just come by and drop in and say, hey, what's up? And give him tons of hugs and stuff because he has to bear with all these movies. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
I've got a comedy game show that I host over at the Manship Theater.
Right.
Our next show is going to be on November 24th. That's Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving, at 8 o'clock.
This will come out before then. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I had to double check.
Yeah. We got Maggie Shipley and Josh Watch, our special guests on the show, with Evan Rabelais and Nick Porche as our team captains.
And they can buy tickets at?
ManshipTheater.org. They've got all the events there, and you'll see it pretty much listed. And there'll be a buy a tickets button right there. And then you could also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and what's the other one? Instagram? Just search Trivial Objections. You'll find us right there.
And what's how you find? Just Trivial Objections?
Or you can find us at TrivialObjections.com.
Oh,
and
yeah.
if you tell him there that you heard go. Him on this podcast, he will give you a piggyback ride.
That's
guaranteed.
Right. That's right. I yeah. love piggyback rides.
You do some stand-up, too, right?
I try, yeah, yeah.
Herman, you're like his dad. I don't know if you realize this. It's like, so how's that stand-up thing going? I've been doing Trivial Objections. That's really what I know that's a tough business there. I tried it out myself. It's not like the easiest thing in the world. You keep it up, though. I like your gumption.
I'm
doing
very
it.
Supportive, you know?
If you really want to, you can catch me at an open mic, maybe one day a book show.
That's what I'm trying to get
but
to.
I don't know if that's something you want
to
do.
Where the open mic be at? That's what I was trying to get to.
He is one of the mass that tries to get up on stage. There's nothing to promote about that at all.
Okay. I thought y'all might
promote the show that he is running. How's that?
Promote the venue. I don't know. I'll
get books one day.
Sure.
One day.
Oh, man. You will be a headliner one day. Trust me.
Sure. For another That Can Be Only One podcast, my name is Robert Rao.
Sleepy Herman Omega Prime Davis.
And I'm Michael Lawford.
Good night, everybody.
Is that the Tommy Pop? No, yours at the Manship.
Mine's over here at the Manship Theater. Okay. We perform in the Hartley Bay, the smaller theater.
Yeah.
But I think actually Christmas we might be doing it in the big theater. So that'd be pretty fun.
Hey man, that's something that the family dinner never did.
Yeah.
They can't do their improv show at the big theater. They stuck in the Hartley Bay.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're not
well, honestly, it's like. It is a good environment for the Hartley Bay because it's like it's tight,
it's cozy,
there, and you can get the people together.
Plus, you don't gotta leave out the vibe. What I like about you don't gotta leave out the theater to go get something to drink.
Yeah.
I mean, in the big room, you gotta either take a break or you gotta leave out to get some drink and miss some things. You know,
yeah.
They happened to me at pool nights.
Yeah, did you go to Willy Wonka when
they did the? Yeah, I did, and I started off good, but it got boring towards the end. Not the comedy, but the movie itself. And I just fell asleep.
Well, I mean, I always fell asleep during the movie anyway. But no, that actually pointed out some stuff I had never noticed before. The fact that when they're doing like the Candyman can, and that kid totally gets his head whacked on the bar as he's like walking through it, and they never even acknowledge it. Yeah. That made me laugh so hard.
I think that kid probably was close by there. Like, hey, you're finally doing something with your life. Don't F this up. Don't make them take you out of this shot.
Uh-huh.
So it was like, I just got hit in the head. What to do?
Stay in it. Go.
He's up there with that. You ever seen The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise?
Yes.
At one part in the movie, Tom Cruise getting off the horse, and one of the extras, I guess, got too close to the horse, and the horse back kicked the extra. But the extra, he just took it and just like, it just went forward. But you can see that, you can see the grimace on his face. You can't hold that.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't break the scene, so they kept all that in the scene.
The only thing I really remember from that movie is just Tom Cruise yelling, "Sake!" at the top of his lungs. Constantly, so now every time I have to, I think I have to do that. It's kind of a weird thing.
I understand.
Okay. That's enough.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
I said that was enough. Oh, because he's the one that always interrupts?
Yeah.
Okay. I see what you mean by that. Okay.